second monthly meeting for March to order for the Port of Port Townsend Commission. Begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Does anybody have any additions or changes to the agenda?
Nope.
Then I'd like to make a move to approve the agenda as written.
My second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Consent agenda includes meeting minutes, workshop minutes, special meeting minutes, resolution 592-13. Any questions?
Nope.
I move that we approve the consent agenda as written.
My second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Public comments not related to the agenda. No public comments, then we're going to move on to old business, commercial basin project.
We had a bid opening for the commercial basin project last Thursday, and in your packet is the results of that bid opening. Orion came in with the lowest bid at $252,000 and change, which is a considerable amount less than what we had estimated to be. And they were a little bit concerned because they were so much lower than all the other bidders. But they went back to their office and went through it with a fine-tooth comb and called Jim up saying, we covered everything, we didn't leave anything out. Which kind of tells me that maybe some of the other ones were trying to get a little extra profit out of it. One of the things I think we got a good deal on it is they told us, you know, they're trying to keep all the work crews employed. You know, so these small projects, you know, are good for that. You know, that and in this case with Orion, even though they're out of Tacoma, the crew, just like when they built the lift pier,
right?
They all live here in Jefferson County. They're all citizens, residents here.
Did we have an engineer's estimate on that?
We just had Tyke and I sat down and went through what we thought it would be.
How much less were they than what we thought?
$150,000.
Boy, that's always puts a smile on your face.
Now, we're going to have a meeting, since we know the company pretty well, you know, the due diligence is pretty easy on them as far as, you know, whether they can perform the work and that sort of thing. But we've got a meeting set up for a week from Friday. Remember, they can't really do the in-water work till July 16th because of the same window. A lot of things they might be able to do a little bit earlier, depending on how they mobilize. This includes removing the transfer span at Quincy Dock, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the results. And, you know, actually, we've got a contract, and what I'd like to get from the commission is, you know, your approval of our recommendation to move forward and award the contract to put the commercial basin to Orion.
Yeah, I would so. Yeah, I think so too. Do we need a motion?
David moved.
I so moved.
Oh, I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we'll do it.
Administration building bid award update.
Well, if you've been reading the newspapers, you know about it. Yeah, we had the Superior Court hearing last Friday afternoon. Carolyn did an excellent job. Steve, you were there for the whole thing. She did a great job arguing our side of it. We prevailed. The judge gave Orion until noon on Monday if they wanted to further appeal for
Primo.
Appeal. He was quite clear that you know, they didn't do what they were asked to do in the bidding process. Noon came on Monday, and Carolyn sent me an email early Monday saying she had been contacted by the attorney from Primo saying on Sunday that they would not pursue it any further. So at 12:01, we signed the contract with Mark Grant, and you see the results. The green exchange is gone. They'll probably have the rest of the site pretty much cleared off. They've located just about all the utilities. Now, because of the flood zone, we are going to have to raise the site 11 inches plus, what, 8/10 more? Two-tenths plus a foot. So we told Levitt to go out to the airport and use our pit run gravel. Remember, we opened up a gravel site, well, it had already been open, on the airport when we did the taxiways a few years ago. So might as well use our own gravel to do that, save a little bit of money there. So hopefully they'll be able to do that. We're still waiting on the permits from the city.
Supposed to come on the 1st?
Well, that was the target date. I doubt if they'll have it ready on Monday, but hopefully the next week.
I'm hoping by next Friday.
Yeah. So I think it's going, you know, Grant says he'll have a building for us by 1 September.
And did we go ahead and pay them the extra money they needed for an assistant to do that work, the permit work, to expedite it?
No.
What permit was that? Oh, you mean the city? No.
Yeah.
Actually, to clarify, in conversations with Rick Sepler, he indicated that he thought that was not the right approach, mm-hmm. and that they were going to hire additional staff to help out Michael Hoskins anyway, which they have done. And I think that was as of last week that began, and Michael thought that he was going to have an opportunity to turn his attention to it.
Michael told me on Tuesday, when they started, he came down, I was down here watching the demo, that he had already signed off on the plans.
When was that?
Tuesday morning. About 9:30.
Okay. Well, I spoke with him on Monday, and he had not. So,
yeah. So
the issue is now the floodplain. Once we get this floodplain resolved, things will move faster.
So with that, you know, we picked the colors, and the building's ordered and being manufactured.
What color is it?
Still, we had a little battle with our architect, who wanted different colors, but it's going to be the silver. Galvanized color with a kind of a burgundy strip below to kind of offset it.
So basically galvanized, right?
Kind of like the Skookum building. So, and we wanted to keep that, you know, industrial look and everything. So that's all I've got.
Then moving on, the Team Jefferson EDC contract scope of services.
Eric, we'll brief you on this one. You know, based on our discussion previously about giving the EDC some specific tasks to perform this this year for the port to justify the money that we give them, and so Eric has drafted that new scope, and take it away.
So just to clarify and set the stage a little bit, there, the agreement that we had with them actually lapsed December 31, 2012. So they've been kind of flying without instruction, at least from us, since then. The contract that you have in your packets is in all material respects identical to the one that was presented to you essentially at the beginning of 2012. You'll recall that in that contract, the direct cash support was $25,000, but then in addition to that, there was essentially reduced rent in the form of waiving everything but the leasehold tax on a monthly basis. So essentially in another $12,000 over the course of a year, $1,000 per month for a total compensation package for their services of $37,025 cash. The scope is largely the same as well, except for a new item, which I think is called out as Task 3, Port-Related Activities. That's on page 5 of the scope. Task 2, or Item 4, Task 3, Port-Related Activities. And we wanted to not only ensure that there was value for money, but also that there was a better link between the statutory requirement in 5308-245 which authorizes us to provide this support in furtherance of job training and education programs related to economic development and other economic development programs, you know, provided that we have a way of ensuring some direct benefit to the port. So what we've called out are a number of tasks actually that are found within the port's strategic plan, which we had not yet implemented. And so we thought that this was a good opportunity to have the EDC help the port with implementing its own plan. So the new items that are called out are, number one, conducting technical assistance training to the marine trades industries to help local businesses obtain government contracts with federal state and local governments. That's one. Number two, assisting in developing and implementing a marketing and promotional plan for port properties and facilities that highlights available business opportunities. That's language, I think, that's drawn almost directly from the strategic plan. Assisting in convening and facilitating an economic development summit that would involve a county, city, port, and other key business interests to identify actions that might be taken by both public and private sectors to improve the health of the economic health of the community. And that economic summit is, again, something that was envisioned in the plan that we've not yet done.
Isn't that what you did, we're doing a year ago? You were working on that, the joint city-county economic
summit? Well, they didn't have anything to do with our strategic plan.
No. Right, but I mean, number three here, in three, economic development summit involving the city, county, and the port. That's what you've already got.
Yeah, I mean, started. I think one could say that there's some overlap, but that I don't think that's really what was envisioned. I think what the plan envisioned was bringing together public sector and private sector interests into a facilitated discussion about how local government could help the private sector. That's certainly what I remember from the strategic plan discussions. So it's a little bit different. What we were working on a year ago was really this
cooperative effort for economic development that was dominated mostly by repetitive paperwork.
Okay, I missed that part, but I was there on the economic, on the strategic action part, so those two aren't the same then.
No, they're not the same, but again, I think there is some overlap.
And the summit, this community's only, since I've been here, has only had one economic summit, and that was totally the creation of EDC director, Tamer. Mm-hmm. And it was over Port Ward, and it was an all-day thing. A lot of folks showed up to that, a lot of businesses, and right after that, he resigned and went to Iraq.
Right.
So then, finally, two other tasks that they would be obligated to help us with under the scope are item four, assisting the port in identifying and recruiting a long-term lessee willing to redevelop the port's landfall site. And finally, working with the port to seek funding to construct infrastructure that supports Jefferson County agriculture. For example, funding for the construction of a cold storage facility that could be located on port land. Again, I'm not, you know, I think Peter is conscious of the fact that some of these may not, in other words, they're going to work to obtain funding. Whether they succeed in doing so remains an open question, but at least now we have a work plan identified that better dovetails with port needs and interests.
So has Peter Quinn seen this?
Yes, he has.
Comments?
I have not heard any. We discussed these on the phone, and he was provided a copy of the materials in your packet.
Eric and I had a pretty frank meeting with Peter. We went over to his office 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and pretty much laid out that if this is going to continue, you need to prove your worth. And the only way to do that is for us to give you tasks to do. And he got that. He listened to that, and this is an outcropping of that.
One thing I noticed in reading this was in the next two sections down, section six, outcomes and benchmarks. The last paragraph, the last paragraph says quarterly reports to the Department of Commerce will serve as the mechanism for reporting to the port and other sponsoring jurisdictions and will satisfy the statutory requirements above that. One thing I noticed last year was apparently these reports came out and they went zing through the paperwork in an email and there were numbers and I was thinking, well, maybe somebody's going to explain these to me at some meeting, but no one ever did. And then basically the year just flew by and then the end of the year was here and I wondered, what did they do? And
those were the quarterly reports that Peter gave.
Right. What I would think would be useful, at least in my mind, would be with these benchmarks that we've given them, or these tasks, port-related tasks that we've given them, they're supposed to give us a quarterly report. And I know that I felt a little bit frustrated last year because I didn't know what they were doing. I didn't understand what actual things they were getting accomplished. And if we could get that quarterly report delivered to us in a workshop on once a quarter, mm-hmm. where Peter's here and he can say, this is what happened, we can ask him questions and get some feedback mm-hmm. instead of just a bunch of numbers, X amount of jobs and mm-hmm. and so forth on a report that goes to the commerce. I think that would be really useful. And I'm not sure, I mean, it says in here, it almost specifies that we don't really get that. It just says the quarterly reports to the Department of Commerce will serve as that mechanism. And I think we need more of a mechanism than that. I think we need some FaceTime with David on a quarterly basis, and then he can give that report to us and ask him questions and find out really what's happening. I think that would be more useful to me anyway.
Yeah, because all these bullets up above that are things that are called out specifically right. by Department of Commerce. Mm-hmm. And that when Peter does his quarterly report that a lot of us have gone down and listened to, he kind of goes over that, but I agree. I think he ought to.
Yeah, I think it's certainly easy enough for us to change the scope of services to basically require a quarterly presentation in front of the commission to update specifically what the EDC is doing to satisfy this task 3 under the scope of services.
Yeah, because all that's nice information, but since we're given specific tasks to do just for us, mm-hmm. you know, a quarterly update on each, you know, I've talked to 5 people that were showed interest in the landfall site and that sort
right.
of thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think it would look better if they looked into our funding of the EDC also, if we had a report at our workshop meeting, mm-hmm. a more comprehensive okay. more report.
Mm-hmm. I can make that
easy to do.
Very well. Any further discussion on Team Jefferson? Then we'll move on to new business, which is item A, approval of warrants. And the warrants.
Yeah, we could just back up. Sure. Yeah, we really need approval of for us to go ahead and sign the contract this year with the EDC.
With the scope as amended, as we discussed.
Okay. So I move that we approve that as amended that we just discussed.
All second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That would have been the further business of discussion that I spoke about before I moved on to the new business. Approval of warrants.
Electronic debit for the amount of $3,887.74 for excise tax. Warrant 5,735 through 50,761, the amount of $40,839.08 for payroll. 50,762 through 50,765 for $18,428.27 for payroll benefits. And 50,766 through 50,804 for the amount of $51,282.65 for accounts payable. I move that we approve the warrants as read.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Staff comments.
Amy? I don't have anything other than I'm continuing to work with our financial advisors as far as funding for the new admin building. So.
Is that coming together pretty soon?
Yes, hopefully it will be.
Have we got a new IT guy online yet, or are we still looking?
We interviewed another firm that's into it. I think we're going to go ahead and have them do it. They're also school trained in iPads.
Oh.
Maybe they can bring you guys up to speed on how to use these things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm on the 3G.
They're a local company?
It's the Olympic Education Service District out of Bremerton, but they have staff.
Local staff.
Port Ludlow, Port Angeles, Bremerton.
They do schools here.
And they do Port Townsend School District, Chemicum School District, Jefferson, East Jefferson Fire.
If they can teach a fireman how to use a computer, they can teach us.
And they were also looking at WSU.
You got anything, Sue?
Yeah, Larry Crockett and Larry Ozzie and I went and participated in the annual contractors workshop that the city puts on. And it wasn't as good of a turnout this year, and they didn't have as many speakers this year as they have in the past. Catherine was kind of pressed for time, so.
Yeah, you mentioned that the call before you dig guy took 2 hours to.
Yeah, I don't know why they keep inviting him back. Yeah, though the speakers they need there, you know, somebody from L&I to talk about you've got to pay prevailing wage, you know, that sort of thing.
Which they haven't passed.
Right, and Department of Revenue and people like that.
Federal contracts.
And really, John Watts, you know, the city attorney, or even Carolyn, somebody to talk about, you know, the legal definitions of responsiveness and responsibility and all those things. Yeah. But
yeah, she hit on that very briefly.
Yeah. Maybe next year.
Yeah, you can learn about that stuff if you go to court in the middle of the day.
I know. But it was still a good session. She spent most of the day there helping, so. Eric, again?
Well, just very briefly, I think at least the majority of the commission was in attendance at the open house and community workshop that was conducted last Thursday evening over at the Yacht Club.
The PSEC.
Yeah, turnout was okay. We had probably about 25, 30 folks show up. The purpose of the meeting wasn't actually to be a Port Strategic Advisory Committee meeting. Instead, the intent was that it was an opportunity for the advisory committee to hear from public and stakeholders about community concerns that could then help to inform them in their preparation of a report and recommendation to you as to how it is that the port's doing in terms of implementing a strategic plan and what, if any, amendments may be needed to the plan. Most of the comments that we received over the course of the evening were from advisory committee members rather than the public. I think we had maybe three or four non-advisory committee
and
members.
Peter Downey were the only.
Yeah, and
Ron,
we got the airport. But we're going to write up, you know, a summary of comments and get that out to the PSAC in advance of their on May 9, and expect a report and recommendation from them to you by early June.
Real quick, I'll be attending the change of command ceremonies over at Indian Island tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, aboard the MSC ship that's moored over there. I mean, they got to find a coat and tie tonight somewhere. RC&D meeting tomorrow at 2:30. I plan on attending that. I sent an email and put a copy in your box. They announced the public comment period, hopefully the last one, on the shoreline management program for the county. And it still revolves around the aquaculture issue. You know, DOE has held firm that you can't ban it. So I haven't digested all the changes that the county has made, but I was wondering, after talking to Peter Downey, I think a couple of us talked to him last week about aquaculture, and it was brought up when we had that survey brief from WSU. They admitted that they really needed to include aquaculture as part of the agriculture landscape for this county. So I don't know if, as the Port District, if we want to provide any comments or not. I was going to look through it here over the next couple of days in detail. I might make a recommendation that we do something. You've been in on it quite a bit through the MRC. Mm-hmm. So just something for thought. We got a couple of weeks if we want to make a comment. So thank you, committee, for holding the period.
Yeah,
period end.
Yeah, so when's that meeting? The link that was in that directly was broken.
Yeah, that shows you all the draft language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, the link to that, that comment was broken, so when is this?
Was?
Yeah.
Well, they just announced it today. You know, I think we get until April 15th to comment. Mm-hmm. So there's another link in there that shows you the draft language. Mm-hmm. And the last thing is, since we don't have another meeting before the event, remember the first Saturday of April is our briefing to the pilots that we do every
year. Right.
So that should be interesting. I think it's going to be in Tommy's hangar, not in BJ's hangar this year.
Which is Tommy's,
the old one. Next
the
to
old
the
one
pumps,
where the customs agent works.
Yeah.
The first Saturday in April is a briefing to the pilots.
Yeah, we do it every year, 10 o'clock.
So we want to ask him about the AWOS and the...
The non-precision approach?
Yeah, because we're setting up to spend a lot of money on that. And at that meeting that we had here, it seemed like not everyone was in agreement on yay or nay for that. So we got to start feeling the water out there because the airport's losing money.
Yeah.
Just to butt in here, the FAA seems to be wanting to kill our AWOL system. So I wouldn't be, I should know by the time of this meeting.
Oh, that would be great.
But Mary called me today and said this is really low on the FAA's priority list.
They just closed 149 airfields around the nation.
You're saying the only thing that's getting funding right now is pavement. So when we want to do our crack seal and that, they will fund that without any questions. But any specialty items, she says, are kind of on hold.
So that kills both the non-precision and...
Well, non-precision is already done.
Yeah, we've already paid for that pretty much. Although with that, we still got the issue with the PAPIs, the runway lights at the end of the runway. Because there's a couple of very tall Douglas firs, the angle of the lights, if you follow the lights in at nighttime, theoretically you could run into these trees. And we're talking like three trees. And they're significantly higher than the rest of the forest. And they want us to redirect, the angle of the PAPI so the pilot is forced to fly higher before he sees the light, and then his glide path, will be over these three trees. And there's two off the Highway 20 end and one off the Highway 19 end. And it could cost, because they don't make this version of the PAPI lights anymore, and it could cost as much as $25,000 to fix this. Again, that's another cost that, we got to recoup that money somehow. But it might be cheaper if we track down the owners of the three trees and offer to buy the trees and cut them down for firewood. So
it's a short-term fix, but it is a short-term fix.
Trees keep growing, but at least we'll save us $25,000 in the near term. So we're looking through that.
So now, is there going to be a resurgence of this equity in pricing thing at this meeting? Or
not? I don't know. I really don't want to get into it at this meeting.
Right.
Yeah, we've heard them. We told them that we're going to take a look at it. And although I would like to make sure all the other hangar owners, especially the ones that would increase in price, are aware of this.
Right.
But I wasn't going to make a big deal of it. But that's not to say it might not come up.
Well, the way I heard it last...
I'm going to have the handout, the spreadsheet, with me. So it does come up, and some people, I haven't heard about that. Hand it to them.
Well, how did we leave it? Wasn't Eric going to try to get some consensus amongst the air pilots or the hangar owners to do something like
that? I thought he kind of wanted us to get that consensus.
He wanted us to come up with numbers of the results of the leveling of the rent deficits.
Right,
and we have that spreadsheet.
And we told him flat out that as long as we didn't hurt our bottom line of $76,000, that we would adjust the rents accordingly.
If everyone agrees.
This requires, it's a legal issue, we would have to redo everybody's lease. And if one leaseholder says, I'm not changing, I'm not going to pay an extra $300 a month, In my mind, that killed the whole thing.
Right.
Everybody and nobody.
My concern is that since we just had this meeting recently and then it's up for somebody to do something next, he's liable to think that, oh, we're having this airport meeting, and yeah, that's when something's going to, so we should be prepared with whatever it was that we indicated was going to happen next. And I'm not sure if that
we have a document.
A consensus. Yeah. Well, we had the document then.
No, we have the new document.
Oh, we do?
We have the leveling out document we produced.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I really don't want to get into a big discussion on a Saturday morning about this. And yeah, we kind of, at least my feeling from the commission was, you know, we'll take a look at it, but it's not something we're going to jump through any hoops to cure the next week or two. So.
Now, but if it does come up, we can hand them that chart.
Yeah, the chart.
So here's our initial take on it.
And that, personally, I'd like to hear from those hangers that weren't represented.
Sure. Yeah, if there's any other people there.
Comes to that, as does John. So Dave, yeah. Dave and John are going to be impacted the most.
Yeah.
And they're going to be quite a bit. $5,000 a year in rent increase.
Right. I just don't want the thing to get hijacked into a shouting match between hangar owners and everything else.
Well, you have considerable skill in that area. We'll be relying on that.
They're not as bad as Quilsing. So, we'll see
how it goes.
So, we'll see how it goes. But if you really wanted my recommendation, if I were to give it to you right now, I'd say status quo, leave it alone, walk away.
Yeah,
the lease is the lease. They're all contracts. They all signed it with their eyes wide open. So, Saturday morning. That's it.
Public comments. No public comments. Commissioner comments. Steve?
Yeah, I went to that PSAC meeting, as did you, and I was, one thing that kind of surprised me, I mean, there was a lot of really good comments, and someone besides me stood up and talked about fishing for a change. but the one thing that I was kind of surprised at, I didn't even think about this until the PSAC meeting was, and that was we got called out for not having a presence at the boat show, and I didn't think about it from the perspective of someone that spends a whole bunch of money and rents a booth and goes there and tries to promote Port Townsend businesses, and then the port that is housing these people weren't there. I didn't even think about it from that aspect. And it just made me think, made me realize how useful these sorts of things are, because I think about it now. And there's a couple of other things, but that was the main one that it just turned my thinking clear around from what I was thinking of, primarily from a budgetary standpoint, not from a support for marine trades that don't do commercial stuff. They do, you know, commercial fishing stuff. They do recreational boat stuff. We might want to, I mean, I'm going to keep that in mind when we consider whether to do a boat show booth next year or not.
And keep in mind, we still do the commercial
expo
in November.
And they don't have a lot of riggers there, do they?
No. The whole thing, if we look back and you got two commissioners that were here on that decision. It cost, and Amy checked it out, about
$7,417
was our cost to go to the Seattle Boat Show.
Including labor and travel and everything?
That's overtime, not regular staff time.
Yeah, don't count the regular staff time.
Well, what we need is a figure of what it costs. I mean, when an employee is working at the boat show, they're not working in the yard. They're not charged now.
This is the document that had already been
done.
So that's just overtime and travel and those costs, but not the regular.
Yeah, because all that would enter into it.
Right.
We could never tie any direct results of that boat show to any increase in business.
There's no way to quantitatively analyze the results.
Now, November, we've been able to, you know, with the commercial guys, we've gotten a number of haulouts because of being at that show. But the recreational one in January, we've never been able to do that, and the commission voted a couple of years ago not to do it anymore. We can certainly do it again, and if we were to do it again, you know, we try to make it, you know, involve as many of our staff as possible. If we were to do it again, I think staff would recommend that we just pick a couple of people. And for the next 10 days, you're it. Instead of trying to shuffle everybody and paying all that travel time and various overtimes and everything else, because everybody's pay is different. And
it was kind of a wash when we figured it that way before, because it included meals and all that. And kind of.
We didn't include the regular salary.
Right,
we didn't
right.
include the regular salary. That'll increase
it. We do that, that'll change the whole equation
drastically.
Yeah, drastically.
But I kind of agree with Steve. It was a very interesting comment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of grew up in recreational boating, and the boat show was the big deal. A huge proportion of the business generated in recreational boating is generated at that boat show. And it was a little bit easier to quantify back then because we were selling boats.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just a nebulous thing like service work, you know. But so I do empathize with that sentiment very deeply.
We can easily.
But this is a really good thing for the Strategic Advisory Committee, because what they can do is they can look at it like we look at it, like a business person. They can look at the budget that we have for advertising, taking into account our overall budget and our hefty surplus that we have, and base their decision on a little bit more than emotion.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm hoping for. But, I mean, I thought that was a really interesting comment also.
Yeah.
What you heard Scott's retort after it is, how about the air shows? Now you have to go to the air shows too. And he's got a point, you know.
Yes. They just had the big air thing.
They didn't support the airport.
Puyallup,
so.
That's why we need the help of that advisory committee.
Yeah.
I mean, these decisions are not simple.
Yeah.
You know,
the other costs I thought of, you know, we stock up on things like pens and carpenter pencils and Tide books.
Big
and
haul outs.
You know, we give away a big haul out and a little haul out, which, you know, those costs are all in there too. That is above that 7,000 figure. So,
well, let's make that figure a little more realistic
then,
so that the advisory committee has sound information to base their advice upon.
Yeah.
That's true about the air show.
Yeah.
I've heard that for years from pilots.
Then they have the one in Arlington. Do you just do that one, or the one in Puyallup, or, you know, which
one
do you go to?
In Arlington, I think, is more for the pilots themselves. I think the
one more of a fly-in kind of thing. But,
maybe we need to buy a plane.
Maybe we need to.
Yeah. Get one as expensive as Dave's car.
Didn't we already get an email about next January's?
The one in Puyallup?
No, the Seattle Boat Show.
Oh, we might have.
Because you got to book your space fairly early. Cause
usually March, I think it is.
Yeah. We might check
but on we might have lost our spot.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll be out in the park, right?
Yeah, we'll be back in the winter next to the railroad. When the train goes by, you can't hear anything. You get a hold on everything, so it won't fall over.
You have anything, Dave?
I heard some comments complimenting Carolyn's work on this.
Yeah, I've heard several.
I
sent her a nice email and some other stuff. So don't
send her a flower, box of candy.
I sent her flowers.
Yeah.
Well, a whole office. I was told it was a team effort.
Other than that, no.
No, in fact, this morning at the contractors forum that Sue and I were at, I had a couple of local contractors come up to me and congratulate us on, I always give them the same, you know, it's just, you know, we did it according to the law.
Yeah,
you know,
it was a legal issue.
Sure. So, but they're still thankful that it went the way it went.
The next meeting will be Wednesday, April the 10th. It'll be a 1 o'clock public workshop or a 9:30 a.m. meeting, 9:30 a.m. workshop and a 1 o'clock public meeting here. And we're going to adjourn this session.
Can we share? I just had a couple, two things.
Sure.
I apologize for being late. The bridge was up. I was on the wrong side of it. And then about a block away, there were three deer that crossed the road, and there was one left, so it looked sad, so I waited for it to go.
You weren't driving your truck?
I was driving my truck. But the other more substantive thing is, like, in case folks weren't aware of it already, there, our own Spokane Airport Board has led the way and has filed a petition for review in the United States Circuit Court of Appeals, District of Columbia, challenging the FAA's decision to shut down the various airports. And so I guess there's a wave of tiered closing. They're affected on April 7th, which is the first closing. And other Washington ports are looking at that. I know Olympia's asked us.
Yeah, Olympia's one, and there's a total of 149 across the country are closed, and there's four or five in the state, I think.
So it'll be interesting to see how this challenges.
Is that the big airport in Spokane?
No, it's probably Phelps Field.
Phelps, yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty, you know,
it's a pretty good size airport.
Yeah, they're actually looking at that as the seed to create a port district over there.
Oh,
using the airport, and
well, probably Fairchild. Because if the military bails out of Fairchild, there's a golden opportunity for economic development.
It's going to be hard because a lot of these are cases like this where you got a military control tower. It's 2 miles up the road, which easily can cover electronically with a radar and all that, the same area. Just like, you know, we don't have a tower, but the air station would be provide their traffic control for us here.
And their argument talks a little bit about substance and of their own airport, but a lot of it on process failure to go through FAA's process that they have for determining whether it's safe or not. Yeah. Be interesting. Yep. We'll keep you posted. That's all I have.
Very well.
I had a question. What is the public workshop?
That's the 9:30 a.m. workshop we have before our regular meeting, first meeting of the month.
Okay.
And it's a forum for us commissioners and staff to get together in public and talk about issues that we may have. There's usually no decisions are made there.
Yeah, it's like this last one we had WSU there. They just completed that agriculture survey for 2012, so they gave us a briefing on the results of the survey. It's information sharing. You know, if somebody in the community wants to give us a briefing, that's when we usually schedule is during the workshop. And again, as Leif just said, no decisions are made. But sometimes something will come up in a workshop where the commission says, let's talk about that this afternoon. You know, add it to the agenda in the business meeting because they might want to
make a decision. Yeah.
Okay.
You're welcome to come to those also. It's just, it's actually kind of a highlight of our day. The next meeting and workshop will be Wednesday, April the 10th. Meeting at 1, workshop at 9:30 here. And we're now going to adjourn this meeting into an executive session pursuant to RCW 42.30.110G, the Executive Director's Annual Review.
How long and any decisions?
How long do you guys?
Well, are we giving it to Larry?
I was going
to
say, you want the Executive Director?
Yeah, we do.
So, yeah, so, I don't know, what, 45 minutes?
Last 29 times, I don't know.
I'll take an hour.
Take more
than a half an hour, maybe.
Do we want to talk? No, I don't know. How bad would you want to hurt it?
Let's try to keep the bleeding to a minimum. It'll be a half an hour.
It gets a long throwing thing
after. And any decisions?
No.
Probably not.
Sure.
What kind of decision would there be anyway?
I have to ask it.
there could be
action taken after. It's plausible.
There could be.
So possible action or no?
No action.
Okay.
That means I'm not fired.
No.
Not in
this meeting. Because it's a firing and a pay raise, only two actions possible.
Pay adjustment.
Pay adjustment.
Is that not going to take motions and shit like that.
I doubt it, no.
Yeah.
You're right.
Okay, then no action.
No action.
So this commission meeting is adjourned.